I'm Craig Johnson. Welcome to our podcast. For this week's message or any of the messages in our archive, subscribe for free on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Bethel Christian Fellowship is a church that relies on the support of its community. We consider you a part of that community, and we would love for you to participate in our financial life. You can do that at our website, drcraigjohnson.org. Whether you're new to this space or a regular pod listener, we're glad you're here. We believe that this message will bring you hope, encouragement, and guidance. God bless you. Can you think of some person in your life who, when they're with you, you know you matter? Is there someone's presence that mediates, I'm with you and I'm tending to you? We're going to talk about pioneers with presence. Last week, we talked about the fact that if you don't fit in wherever you've been, it's probably because you're a pioneer. There's a reason why you don't fit in. There's a reason why you haven't been able to be the piece that fits in the puzzle. There's a reason why maybe all your life you have never fit in, because you're a pioneer. God's calling you to pave another trail. God's given you a machete and a rainforest. And he said the well-paved roads are lovely, but as Van Gogh pointed out, nothing grows on them. It's wonderful to celebrate everyone else's pioneering and everyone else's way showing and everybody else's, I said last week, bomb clearance, where you're on your knees day and night diffusing bombs for 40 years so that people behind you can run through that plot in 1 minute. Thanks. Some of you have been on your knees diffusing the next right bomb for 40 years, and it's just like, hey, everything's so slow and my knees hurt. And what? Hold on. You're paving a way, pioneer, for the people behind you. Little icebreaker in your ship up there, Iceland, breaking the ice so that all the ships behind you can speedily come through. What a blessing it is to be a pioneer. But let me tell you something. Pioneers must have presence. What are we talking about today? Listen to Psalm 27, 7 and 8. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. The deepest part of David cried out, seek his face. You know, something about faces. What is it about a face? You know, from the moment you're born, you're hardwired to look for faces. One particular face, mama. The first face you see is the face that God intended to impart to you the sense of bonding and belonging. We're hardwired to seek faces. Why are faces so important in the Bible? Because faces mediate presence. We have a presence deficit in our lives and in our culture. That means you can be physically present, but you're emotionally in your past or in your future and completely unavailable. Have you been with folk that aren't there? You can run from the presence of the Lord while standing still. Mama can be in the kitchen, gone, not there. Daddy's physically there, sawing on some wood. He's not emotionally present, hadn't been emotionally present since he was 6 years old. There's something powerful about faces. Faces are important because they mediate presence. Did you know God made you for presence? You're created to seek his face without shame and guilt, but face-to-faceness is what we're made for. It's the whole story of the Bible, by the way, presence. Presence says, I'm here and I'm tending to you. In worship with God, we're saying we're here and we're tending to you. Loved one, when you're with someone for 2 minutes and they're with you and they're tending to you, you're having a face-to-face relationship you were created for. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 3:11, he has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. From the womb, we are called to seek presence. We're designed to love and be loved, to see and be seen, to hear and be heard, to know and be known, to give and be given to. That's a face-to-faceness. When we're face to face, there's a sense of fulfillment. That's God's original design. Did you know the story of the whole Bible is presence? God is personally present in the Garden of Eden. He creates the universe as a safe place for his presence. Adam and Eve are naked and unashamed in his beautiful presence. And then they choose their own will and way above his, and the presence is placed at a distance. Now, God's everywhere, everyone, but he's not everywhere, everyone facing you. Can you imagine? I just turned my back on you people. It won't happen at the offering, but I'm here. I'm standing here, but my face is turned away from you. Did you know God is everywhere, everyone? He never leaves. He's, well, God's everywhere. Yeah, he is, but he isn't everywhere facing us and us him. That's what we're made for. You're hardwired to long to find faces. And we as God's people, in the garden, it was all about his presence. Then his presence is lost. Then he picks Abraham and he creates a whole people that would be custodians of his presence to all the other nations of the world. And he gives them the law, and he gives them the tabernacle and the temple and the feasts and the sacrifices. All of it means one thing: God with us, Emmanuel. God is here. And as a people, they host his presence. They're imperfect people. Don't look at them. It was just they were called to bear his presence. And the very redemptive furniture in the temple was called to bear his presence. And when the people disrespected his presence would lift. And they would go into a season of exile. Ever been in a season of exile? Whether it's a short season or a long season, you get real thirsty real quick when the presence and the face is turned. It's like, where are you? You know, we can keep doing what we're doing and he can be long gone. His glory can leave the temple and we can still be cutting animal throats and doing all kinds of religious things. And he's not even there. So we're made for presence. We're born for presence. We're made for face-to-faceness. That's what we're here for. The whole story of the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, one word, presence. And then not only does he have a people that bear his presence, but one day, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, proston theon, face to face with the Father, the eternal Son, in communion with the Holy Spirit. Love from eternity to eternity, a dance of absolute reciprocity without limit. Nothing to hinder the harmony, nothing to hinder the beauty. It's a dance. The Greek word is parakinesis. It speaks of the glory in God, of communion and fellowship from eternity to eternity. And good news, we're invited to join that dance and be face to face with him. But it wasn't enough for the triune God to long for us. God the Son, second person of the Trinity, who was face to face with the Father from eternity, John 1:14, struck a tent in human flesh and tabernacled with us. God with us, Emmanuel. The with us God is. God's with us. The God who's God is with us. That's all it means, just the title, Emmanuel. So wherever he went, the direct, unmediated presence of the Father, and then all that he is. I always tell my children, I say, now let me teach you a little bit about Plato. I say, close your eyes. I want you all to close your eyes. Close your eyes right now and think of a perfect circle. Just think of a perfect circle. Do you have it in your mind? It could be black and a white backdrop, white and a black backdrop. Doesn't matter. Actually, it does. Who saw white on a black backdrop? Put your hand up. Ooh, that's bad. No. But do you see when you close your eyes, you can think of an ideal circle? Now, try to draw that on a piece of paper. It's impossible. You can have computer, the most sensitive instruments in the world, try to draw a perfect circle. Guess what? If we look close enough, it's imperfect. Why? Because there's a difference between the ideal in your head and the real. It's a little grubby stuff called matter. Material reality. Somehow you have an ideal picture of love in your mind. There it is. But you sort of can't match the ideal with the real without getting into a little trouble. Well, I thought he was much more calm. Yeah, well, you thought. You see, there's a big stretch between the ideal circle and your ability to draw one. Yeah. I still have, Brooke's still trying to draw one. I go, honey, that's better than my circle, but it's imperfect. Here's the point. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we see God the Son, second person of the Trinity, assume a second nature, humanity. One person, two natures united in one person, the ideal and the real enfleshed together. Absolute presence. Isaiah said there was nothing about him, Christ, that would make us desire or long for him. He wasn't Brad Pitt. He wasn't Jim Caviezel and Jeffrey Hunter and Robert Powell. Everybody you've ever seen, especially the new Son of God guy, the underwear model guy. Honey, he's not an Aryan Christ. I'm the resurrection and the life. You know, it's like the Bible says he was more like Quasimodo. He was more like a who you would never look at for any reason in a crowd ever. Cute body, wonderful, look at that smile. Nothing of that regard. But he was the ideal and the real and fleshed. But when you were in his presence and you looked in his face, there was presence. The common people heard him gladly because in his very presence they're stopped. Because they've met their creator. They've met their purpose. Solomon said, you've set eternity in their hearts. Did you know deep at the core of our humanity is a hunger for eternity? And we try to fill that hunger with finite things, with the cotton candy of the world, and it doesn't work. Infinite longing at the core of who you are, David said, an infinite desire to see your face, to see and be seen, to know and be known, to love and be loved. Presence is what we're born for. And the whole story of the Bible's presence. And the God-man himself comes, and then, oh, that's not enough. All that ideal and the real is nailed to a tree. Out of love. All of this for love. And then heaven and hell and the elements themselves could not keep him. On the third day, the Father reverses every false verdict against him and raises him triumphantly from the dead so that we, the church, would bear and host his presence forever to everyone. Not doing religious things. Hosting face to face. That's what you need. We have a presence deficit, though, have you noticed? You were born hardwired for faces, but if the first face you saw was mama's face and mama was not emotionally present because mama's got a lot of issues, then you never imprinted that presence and that intimacy, and the chaos of your life continues. You seek your whole life for faces. And if you get vacant faces, unavailable faces, broken faces, then at the core of your being, there's instability all the time. God help us all. You're born for presence. The face is to mediate that prayer. All throughout the Bible, we seek the face of God. Don't seek his hand, seek his face. But see, when the first face we saw didn't mediate love and bonding to us, then we are sometimes ashamed to show our face. That's why I included in our text today, Psalm 3:3, but you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head. Now, why on earth does God have to lift our heads? Because they're sunken in shame. Sometimes the scariest thing in the earth is to be face to face with somebody, especially if you think they hate you and they're going to judge you. And just once again, you're naked and ashamed. And God says, I'm the one who reaches down and I take your chin and I lift up your face to look unashamedly into my face, unmediated presence. I'm here. And I'm tending to you. And I don't care what you did. And I don't care what they said. I am the one you're hungering for, you're thirsting for. Honey, all addictions are hungers for heaven. They're legitimate needs being met in illegitimate ways. We seek faces. We seek, we yearn for face-to-faceness. And you know, it's sometimes rare to find at church. You find a lot of religious faces. God bless you. That's not, there's no presence there. You can talk about the book of Revelation for 14 hours with someone and not feel one stitch of presence. And you go home more confused than a termite in a yo-yo, but there was no nourishing. It's just like, why do you come here? Why do you go to church? You know?
Well, because there's just so many available singles.
No, well, some of you. Calvary's right over there. It's to the right when you get off the No, people come to church for different reasons. My hope is that you come for presence, that deep, infinite longing in you is constantly wanting just a moment of face-to-faceness. Share and be shared with love and be loved. Is there anyone in your life who makes you feel valuable? You say, well, I never thought of it. That's called presence. It's the theme of the Bible. It's what you're made for. It's the tone and body language that you're starving for. And sometimes you got to wait all service and you don't find it in worship because you're not there tending to him. And so you don't feel he's there tending to you. And then in the name of Jesus, we can actually alienate people because when they look in our face, they see a presence deficit. Your ministry isn't about four little tricks of leadership. Look them deeply in the eye, fold your hands knowingly, and ask three questions. So how you doing? I mean, deep down. You're 20 years old. You just read this. In a book before you meet with someone. Don't fold your hands and knowingly look at me with a soft voice. That's not presence. You're a trained monkey. We're hungry for presence. We're made for presence. The whole theme of Scripture is presence. And one day in heaven, there will be the unmediated presence of God. Oh, forever and ever and ever. But in the meantime, there's Tim. In the meantime, there's Craig. In the meantime, there's Joaquin and Eunice. In the meantime, we are to host the presence of God. The one thing we have that sets us apart is presence. Moses put it this way. When God said, hey, I want you to go out in Exodus 33:15, then Moses said, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up. Oh, loved one, I'm not preaching at you. I just, is it hard for you to be present? I mean, present to you, present in the moment, present to your pain, present to your sadness, present to your joy, you know? Or are you just sort of physically in the room, living in your future? The people you talk to, you can tell in a minute if they're present. Because they'll bring all of God through all of them to all of you. Right now, they're not trying to hug you in order to leverage you to look over your shoulder to see who they really want to talk to. You know what? It's true. You know, Gretchen, stand up for a minute. I'm having Gretchen stand. Now, what if I come up to Gretchen and say, hey, Gretchen, how you doing? I'm shaking her hand. And then I look right past her. The attention span of a gnat. I look right past her. How you doing, Gretchen? She hit me, by the way, those of you listening. The wickedness is all over the place. If I talk to her and I look past her to you and I'm using her as a means to an end to get to you, that's not presence. Sit down, Gretchen. In the house of the Lord. You see, there are people that have the attention span of a gnat and they go, how are you doing? And they're only going through you to get where they want to go. There's a present deficit. We live in a generation of present deficit. A lot of technology has to do with that. Four people at a table having dinner, everybody's on their phone somewhere else, something else, and they're in another universe, parallel universe. There's Stephen Hawking over there, and there's Einstein over there. Yeah, it's like, I'm so sorry, I thought we were having dinner. Face-to-face-itness, I guess not this meal. We'll hope for a better one. A.W. Tozer said, to have found God and to still pursue him is the soul's paradox of love. Oh, to find him and then still want more. Yeah? Oh, Lord, are we present? Oh, beloved, we have to pay therapists so much money because you know what they're trying to get us to do? Throw off the mask and have a face-to-face moment of honesty. All of our wounds are presence wounds. So the question is, do you struggle to be present? What in our lives keeps us from being present? From ourselves and to others. And, you know, we can do so much in the name of Jesus with absent faces. It would be better that you stop doing everything you're doing for a little while and have a little ginger in between courses at Love Sushi. you put a little ginger when you're ready for the next course, because you can be a human doing and not a human being and do more damage to the gospel by you being there. Unless you're present. See? It'd be better you be locked up in your house, and when you're present, you're present. And your face is mediating the glory of God, than to be just chattering all the time about God. Yeah. I was at lunch with someone that was talking too loud. Yeah, and they're talking about Jesus and hell and devil and hell. Whenever someone went by, there was an inappropriate word. Seventh seal broken. Yeah, yeah. It was like Edward G. Robinson. And I just said, shh, lower your voice. We want to mediate presence here. If you are at a restaurant with 15 other Christians and you are going to leave a bad tip, leave a Mormon track. Don't you dare honk on about the end of days and the whole thing and be rude and snap your fingers and demand everything and leave $2 at the table, you wicked thing.
In the name of Jesus.
Yeah. Had a friend did that. Table of 20. 3 hours, they dominated the space with irrelevance and babbling. And they left $2. And she took the $2 and went back to the gentleman at the door and said, "Excuse me, you forgot something." Gave it to him. Yeah. Take note, precious saints. All they have is us. Us. That's depressing. You didn't come here to be depressed. But face-to-faceness is what we're here to mediate his presence. Even if you don't know all the answers. Well, Craig, I don't know the Bible like you. I don't know the Bible at all. But I can be a presence at the dinner. Do you know what I mean? Just presence means I'm here and I'm tending to you. If you're not here tending to someone, then you need to find you and like ask God to reunite your face with reality, connecting to reality. This is the most important thing about children. It isn't quality of time. It isn't quantity, it's quality. When you're with your child, be there, or you might as well not be there, because kids know when you're there and you're tending to them, just like that. And they also know when you're vacant. You may not beat your kids or do something crazy, but if you're not face-to-facedness, if you're not present and available, they might as well be raised by the neighbor. Oh, Lord, have mercy. All right, I'm bringing this to a conclusion. But I just wanted to mention just a few little principles from last week about being pioneers, because again, let me. Last week we talked about the pain of not fitting. You know, when you don't fit, chances are you're a pioneer. You're called to pave a new road. And I know it's so attractive to follow the Audubon and all the roads. If you're on a well-paved road, you're just going to wind up where God was before, and there's nothing new. You're just going to wind up going, wait, we were here 22 years ago. I don't want a paved road. I can't have it. I mean, I wish in my flesh there was a paved road. Because it's a lot easier to put your go-kart in a paved road. But, you know, I'm 57. I'm going to be 58 this year with my machete and my rainforest. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't look like you've done but 5 feet of rainforest that you've taken down to the nub. And the devil and everybody else says, "What are you doing? What's the matter with you?" Look, I am a pioneer because I don't fit anywhere. And I've tried to fit. Do you remember the cartoon, "Are You My Mama?" You know, the guy goes up to the vacuum cleaner. "Are you my mama?" That, you know, the power tools. "Are you my mama?" It's like, no, that's not your mama. You know, we seek to find the road we're to be on. When I was really young, I asked the Lord, I said, "Lord, where's my Elijah that I can be an Elisha to? You know, where's my mentor?" And the response was, "You will be an Elijah to others." That did not sound hopeful. God has the most wonderful ways to say eat dirt, and it just doesn't quite... You know, the face doesn't mediate that degree of presence. That wasn't what I was expecting, but as I've lived my life, I realized I wanted a well-paved road. I wanted to have, you know, "I served that man of God for 5 years and poured water on his hands and learned everything." Well, I haven't poured water on anybody's hands. But now I'm just getting comfortable in my own skin, and I'm realizing that it isn't something I do, but it's something of who I am that can impart a presence when I'm face to face with individuals. They start crying. Unless I'm driving, then I have my passive hate face. You know, you've heard of it. My daughter and I were at a memorial service for some folks last week, and Brooke is over to the side, and a friend of mine, Pammy, is taking pictures. And I'm listening to her husband talk, and of course, my passive hate face kicks in. And she's telling this lady to photograph me. She said, get a picture of my daddy doing his passive hate face. Now it's being moved to what they call a passive death face. I'm listening with all sweet intention of presence to my friend Joey, but my face is saying, you dog, why don't you just die instead of talk to me? I mean, my face isn't communicating. So I keep trying to be perky when I get in the car and just sort of be Pastor Joel for 15 minutes. I'm going, I'm in Vons. I don't have to walk with the cart like this. Boy, face isn't powerful. They're powerful. My daughter's friend said, Mr. Johnson, we adore you, but you have a passive hate face when you drive, and we can't even stir your attention. I tell you that story for the millionth time because boy, it's important who we are and how we are who we are. You don't need to be perfect. You need to be the perfect, imperfect person radiating the presence of God. I'm here and I'm tending to you. I'm here and I'm tending to you. And I just... You can read the notes about pioneers with presence. Here's the thing. The one mark of God's people has always been the presence of the Lord. It's the one mark. The history of Israel, the presence of God. The tabernacle, the presence of God. And whatever it is you're called to pave or whatever path you're called to make and you haven't fit anywhere, it's not enough just to have a machete in a rainforest and to be willing to pave a new way, but you have to have the right spirit in doing it. You have to bring the presence of God. Unique. You know, God's presence is uniquely on every work he uniquely calls to pave a unique road. That's what a pioneer is. And you probably haven't fit anywhere your whole life because you're a pioneer. That's good news. But we want to be pioneers with presence. Pave that new way, but every stroke of the machete. Just imagine that you're just, they used to cut the tree and the frankincense would bleed out. They used to cut the tree and the myrrh would bleed out. Just whatever you're cutting, just let the mercy of God descend upon it and saturate it. And presence, Lord, bring your presence. Whatever road I'm paving, and it may just be 30 feet of road. It may just be a turnout. It's not the Autobahn. The Autobahn, of course, took Hitler this long to make. Whoa, whoa, whoa. It could be 30 feet or a cul-de-sac for Jesus. How many more miles does this thing go? You were done 2 years ago. Don't compare your cul-de-sac to the Audubon. You know, remember, you're famous intensively, whether you like it or not. Extensively, you may never be famous extensively, where everybody knows your name, but you're famous to your family. So start there. Count by ones with presence. Let your face bring you. Yeah, keep pioneering. Keep doing the new thing. I just want to pray for you. I just want God to just, if there's anything keeping you from you and who you are and what's going on inside you, if there's anything keeping you from being present to your pain that you've been holding down like beach balls under the water all these years, if there's anything in you that's keeping you from being present to your suffering and your joy, the Bible says, we with an unveiled face behold the glory of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Where the more we look at his face, the more mediated presence comes to us. And we go, he's here and he's tending to me. I don't need to hide from him. He is your shield and the lifter of your head. I know presence is threatening sometimes to look straight in somebody's eyes, but not Jesus. You'd be afraid of everybody else, but not the Son of God who looks directly at you. The Lord appeared to my friend, Pastor Rick David, once. And in a moment, Rick was looking face to face with Jesus, and he shied away. He spooked away. And Jesus said to him, did you think I'm mad at you? I'm not mad at you. He started crying. The only face you don't need to shrink away from is his. You're born for this need, face-to-facedness. Lord, Father, make us pioneers with presence. God, we don't want to do anything We don't want to lift an axe to do your work unless your presence is there. The affirming, I'm here and I'm tending to you. Everything we do in your name, may it be laden and soaked and saturated with presence. Father, for all these dear ones that they're called to do something new, they're called to pave a new way, they're called to bring two worlds together, they're called to bring the past and the present together in a new way. But without your presence, it's fruitless. We're hopeless. Lord, let us slow down and catch up, and let your presence catch up to us. Oh, beloved, whatever's keeping you from seeing you or your suffering, your pain, I in Jesus' name, may it melt away in love and peace. Shalom. It's okay. From now on, you can be present in your own body, in your own skin, and available to tend to the needs of those next to you. It's a new start right now. It's a new book right now. To know and be known, to love and be loved, to share and be shared with, to see and be seen, to hear and be heard, that's what you're created for.